Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. The specifics of retirement differ for everyone, of course, but the broad goal is to have the financial freedom to live your life in comfort. It is increasingly important to have an executable plan that grows and protects your assets. Take a look at the innovative and time-tested investment programs from KPP Financial. When you're ready, just click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com. End of commercial. And now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday afternoon show called InvestTalk. It's June 2nd, 2016. I appreciate you being with me. There's a show for the average investor to become an above average investor. That's our goal. To teach you how a better money management skills. That's what we want to do. Now, ETFs have been around for about 25 years and have the reputation of being tax efficient, low cost instruments which can diversify your portfolio. On the surface, this is mostly true. However, there are some misconceptions about ETFs. ETFs are commonly marketed as investment vehicles that give an investor the same benefit as a mutual fund with a quarter of the cost. Now, although this may be true in some cases, it is not true in all. For example, Schwab Small Cap Index Fund, which tracks the Russell 2000, charges an expense ratio of 0.17%. It is comparable to the ETF iShares Russell 2000, which charges 0.23%. Vanguard funds are also known to charge very small expense ratios, many times less than ETFs, Vanguard mutual funds. Now, on the other hand, I do prefer the ETF tax structure compared to mutual funds. Mutual fund owners are subject to taxes on income, whether it's capital gains earned from the selling of a security or interest payments. ETFs are subject to capital gain tax when you sell the fund. However, you still will need to pay taxes on that capital gain and any interest that you made. Many investors, I feel like this is getting too much for you. I'm worried that I'm giving you too much information in too short a period of time. You know, so I don't know if I want to go into the bond ETFs and how they work. I think that would just be too much in a too short of time. I try to be very conscious of the information I provide so that it doesn't bury you, you know, with so much. Because there's so much to know. So I try to make sure I give it out in consumable doses. Let's put it that way. That you can consume it and understand it. Just know that ETFs are great vehicles, and generally they're cheaper than mutual funds, but not all the time. The same mutual fund could be cheaper than an ETF. It depends. And Vanguard has the cheapest mutual funds and a very low cost ETFs as well. But so do other carriers, I pointed out here, Schwab, small cap index fund, which tracks Russell 2000. That's also cheap. So they're really great. I like ETFs a lot, actually, but there are drawbacks. Okay, do you have a question about exchange traded funds, ETFs? Bring your questions or comments to me right now, this hour. Before I go any further, let's check in. Our 24-hour listener line, always open at 888-99-CHART. And here is a question.
Hi, this is Gavin from Concord, California. I work for Chubb Insurance Group, and my employer is offering me an employee stock purchase plan. I can basically contribute up to 10% or $25,000 of stock, and the stock is bought at a 15% discount. What do you recommend in terms of buying my own company stock at this discount? Do you recommend a certain dollar amount or a certain percentage? I do not have the option of buying any stock through my 401k. It's a separate plan that's offered to me. Thank you very much. You have a great show. Bye-bye.
Well, I do like Chubb, but more importantly, when a company offers you a discount on their stock, from that point on, they're right there. They're offering you free money. But what you have to do now is ask the additional questions. How long do I have to keep it? Can I buy it at 15% discount today and sell it tomorrow? and then pocket that 15% as profit? The answer is usually no. You have a holding period. Many times it's 6 months. It could be a year. I don't know. So that's the first question you want to ask. In general, it is a good idea to buy your own company stock as long as your company is strong. Chubb has been around a long time. I don't remember the symbol. Let me think if I can pull it up here. C-H-U-B. Chubb. It's C-B, I think. No. No, it's not that. So I don't know. C-H-U. Chubb Holding, Chubb Limited. Nope. I don't know the symbol. Anyways, I do like that discount. And then you have to ask if you can sell it. You don't want to overload on any one stock. No more than 5. Maybe your own company, if it's really, really strong, 10%. Maybe 5 to 10% of your overall holdings. And then you got to sell it back every so often so it won't keep going. It won't be so expensive. And it depends. It depends on if it's a good, solid company. Chubb, I believe, in the insurance industry, is a good, solid company. Long term, you might want to be an owner of it. But I don't have the numbers in front of me right now. But I do like the 15% discount. So, yes, you should be a buyer. Okay, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's take another text question. That seemed to be a popular way people are sending me questions these days. Hi, Steve, Justin. How do you find the 5-year PE range? Thank you for the show. 5-year PE range. I give it to you very easily because I buy software and I pay for it. Okay? I pay for the data and it gives it to me. Now, for you, I think there is some websites out there that give you 5-year PE range. But it may not be in the form that you can comfortably get it. I would check with Yahoo Finance. Then I would check with FinViz, FinViz.com. And I would check with MarketWatch.com. Those three places, one of those might give it to you. And, Morningstar. I know Morningstar has it. I'm just not sure if it's because I buy data from Morningstar. I'm not sure if it's the free part where everybody can see it or it's the part that you have to buy data from Morningstar. See, that's how these companies make money, They offer a lot of free stuff, a lot. But not everything is free. And if you want everything, you got to pay for it. So I can't really answer you that. I guarantee you if you want to pay for MarketSmith.com and buy it, yeah, because that's how we get it. We use a software called MarketSmith. A risk drill for Ford stocks. That's going to be one of our talking points today. A risk drill for foreign stocks, and bonds could be added to that. That's going to be our main talking point today. Okay, I don't know if you noticed, but ECB Mario Draghi talked today. What did he say? Remember what you know who he is. He's the central bank. He's like our Janet Yellen, but for the European Central Bank. And does it mean anything to us? And retirement, will it improve your life? This is different. I'm not talking about financial. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about just retiring. Retirement, living in retirement, will that improve your life? There's some surveys that were taken by the National Bureau of Economic Research, and I think we need to talk about that. And when should stock market bulls head for this exit? So if you're bullish on the stock market, when do you say, I don't think I should be in the market now, or I need to have some defense plays in place? Or, when do the bulls finally say, no, I got to be more careful? We're going to talk about those things. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? 888-99-CHART is our number. The market was up today. All three indexes. Remember last couple of days they were mixed? And today they're up. The Dow is up 49, the NASDAQ up 19, and the S&P up 7. Now, does that mean, are we back in the bull market phase? No, we are not. We are bumping up against really tough resistance. 1, 2, 3, 4. In the last year, This is like the fifth time we've been up at this point. And, you know, market has done nothing for well over a year. No gains. So now it's a question of, okay, is it going to break through this time? That's really what you ask yourself. Are we going to break through to new highs? And, you know, if you look at the NASDAQ, it is not even near its new high. The S&P is, but not the NASDAQ. And if you're looking at the Dow, which is only 30 stocks, you always got to remember it's only 30 stocks. They're not near their new high either. They're getting closer, but not as close as the S&P. Now, I have some new check updates for Northern California for conferences on Skype and telephone for the listeners here, for you people. Coming up first is my Skype and telephone day on June 16th. Then on June 28th, I'll be in San Ramon. And the next day, I'm going to be in San Jose, June 29th. You can see these dates posted on investtalk.com. Again, these are informal meetings. We look at, you know, I look at your current holdings and talk about what your goals are. Just to tell you, of course, I'll tell you about our programs. Of course I will. But really, it's just trying to get to know you and know where you're going and see if I can help. To schedule your hour, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Justin. Henning from Ukraine, listening on the podcast. Great show as always. I'm calling regarding Corrections Corporation of America, ticker symbol CXW. And I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about the valuation, and when it's a good time to get in, and also how secure the dividend is. Thanks again. Take care.
Okay, CXW, Corrections Corporation of America. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, holding correctional and detentional facilities for federal and state and local authorities in 20 states. It's a $3.9 billion company, almost a $4 billion company. It makes money. It's made money every year that it's been around, and it's consistently growing the earnings. Sales are sporadic, but they've been growing the last 5 quarters in a row. Before that, they were shrinking, but last 5 quarters. So the stock has been pretty decent. It double bottomed at the beginning and end of last year, beginning of this year. Well, actually, it's November, December last year. Double bottom. Hit in November a bottom, rose up a little bit, came back down, tested that bottom, and ever since then, it's been moving up. Okay, and that bottom was $24 a share, and right now it's $33.95, and that is a new 52-week high. Generally, when a stock makes a new 52-week high, that's positive. You want to be in that stock when it does that. Okay, and this dividend of 6.4% is solid. Okay, it should be able to pay that and even increase it. So those two things are good. I would rather buy this on a pullback. That would be very nice to maybe $30, maybe a 10% pullback. If you can get it, and you might want to wait to see if that'll happen. But you also can buy it because it broke out if you think the bull market phase is going to continue. Appreciate the call. Dan and Hayward, how you doing, Dan?
Well, fine, thank you. Steve, real quick question is, wanted to know, what do you think about the stock? It seems to be doing well. It's called Dycon, D-Y-C-O-N, symbol is D-Y.
Okay, DY is a symbol. Dycon Labs provides engineering, construction, maintenance, and installation services to telecommunication providers. So it looks pretty darn solid. It looks very solid. Growing sales, growing earnings, very strong, 30% or so on sales, 30 to 50% on earnings. And it's not, for that type of growth, doesn't seem to be too expensive at a 22 PE. So it looks really solid. A little bit of debt, but nothing not handable. I kind of like where they are, and it looks like a good, solid company. Good luck with it. This is InvestTalk. Making the most of your money isn't all about investing. Do you have questions about college savings plans, life insurance, real estate? You know, there's other things that money goes to. Give us a call. You're listening to InvestTalk at 888-99-CHARGE. Let's talk about evaluating country risk when you invest outside the country. And a good example of that was a big article that came out today on was that Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, Puerto Rico? I think it's Puerto Rico, about their government debt that they defaulted on. Now, this is a good example of what risks that you have when you're talking about investing in a foreign country. And, you know, Puerto Rico is not, that is a third world country, but not necessarily that bad of a political risk. But here we have a very large issue of politics that defaulted on all these loans. So these are government bonds that were issued. And apparently their constitution has a provision in there that government bonds cannot, they cannot go into debt more than they can't go and borrow money more than a certain amount. There's a limit, okay? And they exceeded that limit. The government exceeded that limit and lent out $4 billion, or borrowed $4 billion more than they were supposed to. And now they're thinking about not paying it. Now, how does that affect you and me? Well, think about it this way. I'll give me an example. I had a client a couple of three years ago that fired me because when she was in my balanced income portfolio, which half are bonds, I laddered bonds and I was getting 3%, 4%, 5% yields. And I laddered them out 4 years. And she had a pretty big portfolio. She was managing most of it on her own. And she was buying Puerto Rico bonds. She was getting 8%. She thought I was stupid. She didn't say that way. But she didn't understand why I wouldn't buy Puerto Rico bonds. I said, because there's a lot of risk. There's political risk, economic risk there in Puerto Rico. And, you know, that I don't want to, you know, I think that's, not, I didn't know what was going to happen then. I just said, I just don't think it's wise to buy those kinds of bonds when I don't know the political system as well as I do here in the United States. And so now she bought $1 million or more of these, I'm sure. And now they defaulted on them. You don't know if you're going to get any of your money back. So when you invest outside the country, you invest in things you don't know anything about. And I guarantee you, she had no clue. She had relatives in Puerto Rico, long lost relatives, and they were telling her how great it was. But she didn't really know. There's that political risk that they're not going to pay. Besides the economic risk, there's two kinds of major risks, economic risk and political risk, when you invest outside the United States, whether it's in bonds or stocks. And you have to understand these political and economic risks before you even consider buying anything. And try to remember, foreign markets, there's basically three kinds. There's developed markets. Developed markets would be like, oh, I don't know, England and Australia and Germany, developed. Then there's emerging markets. And then there's frontier markets. Every one of those is a huge downgrade or huge increase of risk from a developed market to an emerging market to a frontier market. Frontier market is, okay, you can make a ton of money or you can lose it all. I don't do Las Vegas. I don't do Vegas with people's money and with accounts. We don't take those kinds of risk. Now, doesn't mean you never can. You can, but you got to be really, really careful. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Sure. I just wanted to ask you about LABU. I'm thinking about picking some up, but I want to wait for a downturn, you know, somewhere in the upper 20s and or lower 30s if possible. But I just wanted to see what you thought about.
Okay, this is the Direction S&P Bio Bowl. It's 300% leverage, Mark, 300%. Exchange-traded funds seeking investment results, 300% of the performance of the S&P Biotechnology Select Industry. So it's going to have huge swings up and down. It will move very, very large. Very, very large. Because, you know, this thing was, $200 a share. What?
2014.
In 2015. Now it's $39.89. Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to live with that kind of volatility. You really, and you know, I personally don't like the 300% leverage, because if you're wrong, it will kill you. You know, so they had reverse splits to bring up the price to where it is, you know, one for four split back in, was that March? Just not that long ago. It bottomed right around, what, 25-ish, somewhere around there. It got as low as almost 2021 back in February. So now it's doing well. It's coming off that bottom, up 8% today. To $39.89. If you think biotech industry is going to work, technically this looks like it's breaking out from its lows. Good luck with it, Art. I hope it works for you. I wanted to tell you about a useful info sheet that could be of help to you. 10 questions to ask when picking your real estate agent. You just go to investtalk.com, become an InvestTalk insider. It's free.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Why not complete the InvestTalk experience by making a connection with Steve? Each month, new dates are posted when Steve meets with a limited number of InvestTalk listeners for individual and informal portfolio reviews. To see the latest locations and dates, go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. This Thursday, June 2nd, Invest Talk. This is a conference call about your money. Do you have a comment about investing or a question about your portfolio or the investing climate in general? Ask Steve directly, 888-99-CHART.
Just wanted to let you know you have an amazing show, and I really enjoy it. I listen to it daily, and it's very informative. There's a lot of information. And I think so. The value you provide, the information you provide, is just too good. So I had a quick question. I wanted to know, how does one do short selling? What are the rules and requirements for that? And I'll take the answer offline. Thank you.
Okay, what are the rules and requirements for selling stock short? Short selling. Selling stocks short. And let's go over what that means first real quick. Selling stocks short means that you're betting against the company or the index. You think it's going to go down instead of up. When most everybody invests in the market, and they expect to buy a company and it will go up, and therefore their value will increase. But what if you're pretty confident that it's going to go down? Well, you can do what we call short selling, sell it short. And what that means is you borrow somebody else's stock and sell it today. You can do 100 shares, 1,000 shares, whatever you're allowed do. Selling it today, and at some point in the future, you have to buy it back so you can give it back to who you borrowed it from. So you borrow it today at $100 a share, and you sell it for $100 a share. You borrowed somebody else and sold it $100. That will show up as a negative number in your portfolio because you didn't own the stock, so you owe the stock back at some point. But let's say that goes from $100 a share down to $50 a share, and you buy it back at $50 and give it back to the person. Now you get to pocket the $50 a share profit from $100 down to $50. That's selling short. To be able to do that, you have to have what's called a margin account. You got to open an account with money, put money in it, and it's got to be a margin account versus what is called a cash account, a margin account. If you have a margin account, then you're able to sell a stock short. An IRA cannot be a margin account, so you can't sell a stock short. Okay, so you have to open a margin account, put money in it, because you can't. What if the stock goes up instead of goes down? What if you sell a short at $100 and it goes to $110, then $120, and then $150, then $200 a share? It keeps going up and up and up. That means you owe more and more money when you eventually buy it back if it goes in the wrong direction. So the brokerage firm won't let you sell short your entire portfolio of cash, you know, won't let you do it all. And if it does, they'll make you cover at some point because they're worried about getting their money back. Okay, so there's rules, and it depends. You know, there are those rules, and some stocks are not what we call borrowable. You can't borrow them to sell them short. So you have to know how that works. And you know, many times it's pretty much hidden from you. All you have to do is put in the order, sell short, and they'll tell you if it's borrowable, and they'll instantly let you know. Okay, selling short. Now, I said you can't sell short a stock in an IRA or a retirement type account. You can't sell something short, but you can buy an ETF or a mutual fund that shorts inside it in an IRA. So you can buy with your IRA money an ETF or fund that shorts the market. Get around that rule. Let's go to George in San Jose. How you doing, George?
Fine. Good afternoon, Steve. Thank you so much for taking my call. I want to appreciate how accurate you have been with Micron Technology. You remember, called you about a month ago. You said if it goes after 11, that's the time to buy. So appreciate for that.
You're welcome.
It's for Amazon.com. Looks like the sky is the limit for this guy. Eating lunch from all the retailers, apparently.
Yep.
I have a feeling myself, it's just personal, that this guy is going to hit 800 by the end of the year. What would be an entry point for me on Amazon.com? I listened from the radio.
Okay. If we're talking about a short, you know, a short-term entry point, something that, you know, we can actually buy it because it's breaking out the new 52-week highs, okay? $728 a share. So it's not going to, and they are just hitting on all cylinders right now. And it's Amazon's very overpriced, but it probably deserves to be overpriced. I think you might be able to get it down to about $685, $700 a share, somewhere between $685 and $700. You might get it for that, and that's where it would be a good buy point. If you're more patient, it is possible with a nice market swoon. I mean, the last time the market went down 10%, this stock went all the way down to 480 from 700. I don't think it'll go back down there, but you might get it at around, I think you'll probably get it around 600 if you get a decent market correction. I think it'll go to 600. So there's the entry points. Amazon. If you don't know who Amazon is, you're living in a cave somewhere. Amazon. And there really are, as George pointed out, they really are eating the lunch of all the big box retailers. Everybody's buying everything online. Time for Invest Out Personal, the personal financial issues that can save us or cost us money. Your credit report, you know, it could be wrong. You know that, right? No matter how good a credit, it could be wrong. So regardless of whether you're buying a house, car, cell phone, you know that your credit score universally needs to be good. And the better it is, the less it will cost, especially on mortgages. So you got to keep track of your credit score. And you know, it's not that difficult. You get a free one once a year from places like annualcreditreport.com or myfico.com, and look for mistakes. I'll tell you one. What was on my credit report a number of years ago is I took a trip to New York, and my wife bought something at Macy's in Manhattan, and then she was charged twice for the exact same thing. We paid for it immediately, could always pay. But it was on there twice, so I called up, and they allegedly removed it from my credit report, and they removed it. I never got billed again. A couple, 3 years later, I found out it's still on my report as an unpaid bill that I had. So things happen. You gotta keep an eyeball on it. It's important. Also, things that can affect your score. If you ask for your credit report too many times in 1 year, your credit score will go down. If you take out a bunch of credit cards and don't use them, or you just apply for them, your credit score can go down. And, of course, those are things that you haven't done anything wrong, and your credit score could go down. And, of course, if you're payment late or you know, those things that you, if you do, it will definitely affect your credit. So just check it out. Go to myfico.com or annualcreditreport.com and get your credit score and see if there's anything on there. You're really not looking for the score. You're looking for what might be on there that's not right. And then you can start working on getting it corrected. That's InvestTalk Personal. If you have more questions about credit, well, I always welcome your call at 888-99-CHART.
Wall Street closed slightly higher on Thursday as fresh data gave a rosier view of the economy and further gains for healthcare shares. Want a quick check of the financial markets and the leading money headlines? Just look at the news feed on investtalk.com.
Hi, it's Carl, a podcast listener from Massachusetts, and I just had a question on institutional ownership. I understand that institutional buying and selling is what really moves the stock higher or lower, but I was wondering if the current percentage of ownership matters. Like, for example, if 90% of the stocks are already owned by institutions, will that affect the potential price movement? And if it does, is there a percentage that I should be looking for that's in, you know, say the sweet spot? Anyway, thanks. Love the show. I'll be listening tonight for the answer. Thanks.
Well, that's a very good question, actually. So institutions owning a company does in fact move the stock price, not individuals like you and me. And you need to see who is the owner of that company. For instance, Amazon.com, we were just talking about. It is currently 50% owned by institutions, 18% owned by management. If something is 90% owned by institution, the possibility of really going up much higher are slim. Possibility of going down are great. The sweet spot. I like to see about 30 to 50%. I really rather see 30, but I don't panic over 50%. Now, I don't like to see zero institutional ownership because remember, who drives stocks? Institutions. If there's no one owning it, no institutions owning it, now you have to pray that someone will recognize it and come in and own it. But when you already have institutions own it, that means people are tracking it. Institutions are tracking the stock, and they can buy more of it. They already know about it. But if it's off the radar completely, that's not necessarily a good thing. It's not a good thing, actually. Doesn't mean you don't buy the stock, but it means that on a ledger of good things versus bad things, that's a bad thing. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about financial? How about ECB? Mario Draghi had a big speech today, and he said that the risks have improved for the EU. But the risks are still tilted to the downside. So that's what you call talking out of both sides of your mouth at the same time. Has the risk improved? Are the risks tilted to the downside? Well, you can't be having both. Isn't it one or the other? And he was being very, very careful because he didn't want to say one thing or another. And remember, they just not that long ago had increased their QE a couple months ago, like in March. And, you know, they're pushing hard lots of more money into the system, and I've told you on the air, and I'm going to tell you again, all this QE is really not helping. Not really helping, but they're going to continue pushing on it. They're going to continue, and I don't see how it's going to help much. When you first start a QE-type plan, and that means, you know, where the government either lowers their interest rates or actually outright QE is buying bonds to push down interest rates, when they first start it and it happens for the very first time, that has a pretty big impact on the economy. But when you keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, people get used to it, they don't care, it doesn't do anything. Now the ECB, unlike our Federal Reserve, ECB, European Central Bank, unlike our Federal Reserve Bank, has only one mandate, and that's price stability. Price stability. They're supposed to fight inflation. They don't have the other mandate that we have in our Federal Reserve, which has also price stability, but also full employment. They have two mandates. And of course, sometimes those two mandates are directly opposing each other. You can't do one without the other. But the ECB only has one mandate. So it looks like to me, Mario is saying, if you read between the lines, he's saying, well, I think we need to take a wait and see kind of attitude. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to be for or more QE, less QE. I think we just got to wait. And that's kind of the impression I was left with when I listened to his speech. Okay? Did you know that when you roll over your 401k, after-tax contributions can only be rolled into an IRA or a retirement plan that keeps track of taxable and non-taxable parts? You got to keep track. You can't just roll over. If you just put after-tax money in it, then it's no problem. And that's what I suggest you should do. But if you put after-tax and before-tax money in your 401k, which you can do, by the way, it's not illegal. But now, if you're going to roll that 401k into an IRA, you got to keep track of both. You got to keep a track in the old 401k. But many times people lose track, and your new custodian that you roll a 401k into an IRA, the new custodian IRA, they don't know what you did. They have no idea. You can lose track, and that means you could pay double taxes. Remember, you got to wait till you retire before you can take that money out. That could be 10, 20 years. Do you remember what you did 10, 20 years ago? Be very, very careful, everybody. Talk about these kinds of things and others, anything about anything financial, just click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin and type 401k, rollover. We'll talk about those kinds of things. You're talking about anything financial. You can do that on investtalk.com. And our Anytime line is always open for your questions, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Mark Collins from Lancaster, New York. I listen on podcasts. New to investing, and I was wondering, what's your take on Copart, ticker symbol CPRT? I currently have a small position in it, but I was wondering if I should drop it and move on to something better, or what your take is on that. I look forward to the next podcast. Thank you.
Okay. Copart, Inc., it is a $5.4 billion company, so that means it's a mid-cap company trying to work its way to be a large cap, and there's no real definition of mid-cap, small-cap, what the break-off is, just general guidelines. It conducts salvage vehicle auctions for insurance companies, charities, dealerships, banks, and other institutions. It is overvalued. At this point, overvalued, probably because it had a great quarter, 17% growth last quarter. But that, it tells me that maybe you should be taking some profits on this thing. That's what it tells me. Take the money and run, my personal opinion. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. If you still have a question, well, we still have time. 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. Okay. Will retirement improve your life? I'm not talking about financial. I'm not talking about how much money you're going to get Social Security and how much money your current assets will produce in income and how much debt you have. Not talking about any of that. This is a working paper from the National Bureau of Economic Research. And they did a study, an ongoing study. It's not done. Ongoing study that says, so far, their unequivocal findings are that it improves both health and happiness for people who are retired. When they retire, it improves your health and happiness. And not only that, it improves your health and happiness immediately, and it's long-lasting. Kind of interesting, isn't it? So when you retire, and again, we're not talking about finances. We're talking about your health and your happiness. It immediately improves. Now, it might have something to do with stress levels going down. Might have something to do with that. But, of course, if you don't have any money, your stress levels may not go down. But you can obviously, if you don't have to show up for work every day and you don't like your job, well, you can see that. You can see that. And maybe now that you have time, you can exercise, that you have time to exercise that you didn't before. When I go to the gym, I go to the gym almost every day, and I see a lot of retired people in there because I go, I work very early, and I go there early afternoon before the show, and I see a lot of retired people there because it's kind of in the middle of the day. We're talking about 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon. I show up, and there they are, same old guys and women there. And then Saturday morning, you see a bunch of more, a variety of ages. So it's kind of interesting. So probably, some of it has to do with you're able to work on your body by doing exercise, maybe. But it was interesting. So immediately, and a long-lasting health and happiness when you retire. Interesting. Your questions come first and last. Let's take this last couple of minutes and answer a question. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, my name is Matt in Hilliard, Ohio. I'm listening on iTunes. I was wondering if you could give me your opinion on TNH, Terra Nitrogen Holdings, LP. I was wondering what you thought about the stock and if the dividend was sustainable. Thank you very much. Bye.
I would say yes on the dividend. I think it is sustainable. Let's take a look at it. Terra Nitrogen, of course, manufactures fertilizers, including urea, ammonia, nitrate, that kind of stuff. A $2 billion company. They've been around a long time, and I think they're going to survive. Sales have been coming down, but that's probably coming to an end. There's slowdown in sales. And they're paying 5.6% dividend. I think they'll still maintain that dividend. Will it stay at 5.6%? Well, they have a very large cash flow of $18 a share and $108 stock. I don't think they're going to cut the dividend. I don't. And it's a matter of turning around their sales, and that's a matter of world economies starting to grow again. And we might not have that happen this year, maybe not next year, but it's going to happen. So I wouldn't be too afraid of it, and I think the dividend is fairly safe. They don't have a lot of debt. 888-99-CHART. Okay, when should the stock market bulls, when should they head for the exit? Now, this is a question everybody would like to have an answer to. There is no crystal ball. There is no, this is when you do it. No such thing. There's no knowing when to get out of the market or when to get in the market. When everybody says or somebody says they have a method for that, run the other way, because there is no knowing. Now, I will say this. There are times when you become cautious. Doesn't mean you leave the market, but you might put on positions that are, hedging the market one way or another. But knowing when to exit, too many times we have what's called a black swan event. And a black swan event in my industry means something that comes out of left field that no one expected that tanks the market. It happens on a regular basis, not frequently, but a regular basis. Today, I'm a little concerned about complacency. Everybody's just kind of ho-hum about the market. That generally is not positive in my mind. And we got rate increases coming up. We got the election coming up. So is it time to head for the market? Exit? I wish I knew. I don't know. I'm just being cautious of my and my clients' money at this point. Our hour's up. If you'd like to schedule a portfolio checkup with me, we have some new dates posted on investtalk.com. I have Skype and telephone meetings June 16th. I'm in San Ramon on the 28th and San Jose on the 29th. Love to meet with you. To get on the schedule, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody else at KPP, we want to thank you for listening today. Maybe we can do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.